This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Going to get you into all kinds of trouble. Listen to Del Shannon. He knows what he's talking about. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us on Friday, April the 8th already. Got a lot going on. We will be talking in a few minutes with Brian Blaze of the Paragon Institute. And by the way, he's a former assistant to Donald Trump on economics. And we're going to talk about the Biden administration's plans to expand Obamacare. As if it wasn't bad enough already, let's make it worse, right? So stay tuned for that. And CNN's Brian Stelter, do you know who that guy is? Well, anyway, he paid a visit to the University of Chicago, which is, you know, a pretty liberal institution. But he was confronted on their network's disinformation campaign on Hunter Biden. There was a conservative student there who I think runs some sort of conservative organization on campus. And we're going to talk a little bit about that and some other things with the proprietor of the barber pole a little bit later in the show, Andrew Cerasi. Stay tuned for that, if you would. And it seems like the Department of Education is going after charter schools with its new regulations. Why? What do they have against charter schools? We are going to take a look. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a goodie, the top 10 most affordable great weather cities. You want to move somewhere where there's a lot of sun and warm weather? On a budget? You got to listen to it. Top 10 most affordable great weather cities. By the way, Freedom Works is sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, for the best haircut, and it's almost Easter time. You know you got to look good for Easter. Come on now. Your wives and girlfriends would be in their Easter bonnets. You got to have a nice haircut. So you get over to Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza. That is just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. They are open Tuesday through Saturday. Call first for your appointment, please. 727-733-3773. Well, you know, one horrible story after another out of Ukraine, of course, and now Russian troops attacked a packed railway station. I mean, what are they doing? They knew they were hitting innocent people there. They attacked a packed railway station in eastern Ukraine. Apparently, at least 39 people dead. I'll bet there's a lot more than that. More than 100 also hurt. Why are they hitting... Does this do them any good? Does this advance their cause? The Ministry of Ukraine and the Ministry of Defense there said Russians carried out two missile strikes on railway stations in Kramatorsk, where evacuation of civilians was taking place. But Russian war criminals not only deliberately targeted thousands of people, they've used cluster munitions, cluster bombs. So, you know, that horrible thing continues. We are supposedly expediting the entry of more Ukrainians into the United States, as more are apparently finding their way to the southern border. Australia is sending 20 armored vehicles to the Ukraine based on a request from Ukrainian President Zelensky. And our Congress voted yesterday to suspend normal trade relations with Russia and ban the importation of its oil. Well, I thought that edict had already been made by President Biden. I guess this is the formality. I hope we have not been using their oil in the most recent week or so. But that's not doing anything. That's not doing anything. I think most people now think that we ought to allow the planes to get in there. Not American troops getting in there, but the planes. Anyway, it's a mess. And we just pray for all of those people. I mean, I saw and heard, there was this Fox News reporter, a brave soul. His two colleagues were killed when his vehicle was hit. He survived, but he survived with devastating injuries. He lost half of one leg, the foot on the other. He lost a hand. He lost a sight in one eye. I mean, this guy knew, too, when he was there of the risk. But there he was, talking to the camera from his hospital bed, saying how blessed he was and how bad he felt for his two colleagues that were killed.
It reminds me years ago that ABC News reported that I think it was in Afghanistan or something. He got hit and he lost half the side of his skull, basically.
Yeah.
Terrible. He came all the way back. He went back into reporting again, and so much rehab followed his rehab. And I can't remember his name, but they showed how long it took for the rehab, and he had to learn to speak again.
And he went back after all of that. He
went back 100%.
Unbelievable.
It took a couple of years, but he went back 100% and went back to reporting. In some of the danger zones, yeah.
They're a special breed of person. Yeah, I remember watching this guy. During the
break, and when we've got Brian on, I'll look that up, see if we can find out who
sure.
it was.
I remember this guy that I'm talking about from Fox. While he was reporting from Kiev and some of these other places, I kept saying, this poor guy, because he wasn't going to leave, and I knew with all of the things that were going on, he had a big chance of getting hurt. And he was. And, now he's reporting from a hospital bed. And yet, it sounds to me like if he can do it, he's somehow going to continue to do that kind of reporting.
Yeah, some of these guys are, I don't know if it's just committed to the job or just being a little crazy.
I think they...
It's like when hurricanes down here, when do you pack up and leave, your reporting,
breed.
My friend works for Channel 28. Runs the camera truck, and he also does the drone footage. And there's times where he's got to find a niche or a spot between two hotels to park the van, and elude the 100-plus mile an hour winds. I'm like, just get out of there,
Amazing,
it's crazy,
very dedicated people.
Yeah.
They're very dedicated. They just, I think they're proud of what they do in a certain sense.
Dedicated and a little crazy.
Yeah, could be. Could be a little bit of that in your system.
Bob Woodruff?
Oh, yes, I remember Bob.
I think that's his name.
I remember Bob Woodruff. I didn't realize he got hurt.
Yeah, I'll look that up, but I'm pretty sure that's his name. I'm pretty sure that's his name.
Yeah, I kind of remember Bob. Anyway. We continue to say prayers and hope that things somehow turn out in that Ukraine war. We're going to take our break, and when we come back, Brian Blaze, Paragon Institute, former special assistant to Donald Trump on economic policy. We're going to talk about, let's put it this way, the upgrade to Obamacare.
Is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on a Friday on Freedom Works and delighted to have Brian Blaze join us. He is president of Paragon Institute. He's a former special assistant to President Trump for economic policy. And back in February, before a House subcommittee, he testified describing how the latest entitlement expansion to the Affordable Care Act is just going to make things a lot worse. Brian, welcome to Freedom Works.
It is great to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
This has always been one of our biggest issues. From the moment that Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act was brought up, we railed against it and worried about how it was going to raise the cost and lessen the effectiveness of health insurance for everybody. I would say that it was like if you were sitting on a hillside, you know, and you could see a curved track, and there's a mountain there, so the two trains coming towards each other don't know they're on the same track about to collide. But you sit there knowing it's going to happen, you know, and they don't. Drove me crazy that Obamacare, that nobody seemed to realize it wasn't going to make anybody better off. Now everybody's complaining about the deductibles, you know, the shock that they have with how much they have to pay, you know, all the good things. Anyway, I'm taking up your time on this. I want to ask you a little bit about your testimony and your thoughts about the expansion of Obamacare.
Well, I think to level set, Obamacare, you know, there were great promises made that it would make health insurance more affordable, lead to a more robust individual market for health insurance. And that's where people go that don't have employer-sponsored coverage to buy insurance. And the reality is that the law failed to live up to its many promises. So, I mean, sort of famous ones, you know, people lost plans that they liked, they lost doctors that they liked. But premiums and deductibles soared for coverage that provided that covered far fewer doctors and hospitals. And you know, enrollment was about 60% below projections. What the economic reality is that the only people that really bought the coverage received giant subsidies to purchase that coverage. Mm-hmm. So last year, when President Biden took office, with Democratic majorities in both houses, they didn't address the root causes of Obamacare. They just decided to increase the amount of the subsidies as well as the number of people that qualified for the subsidies. So most of these people already had private coverage. So it was really just new government spending, which is obviously inflationary, which is an issue that we're dealing with, replacing private spending. So we didn't increase the number of people with health insurance that much, but we sure as heck increased government spending a heck of a lot. And I'll say one other thing. Like, we want all this government spending on health care. It hasn't had good results. American life expectancy, so Obamacare's core provisions took effect in 2014. Americans' life expectancy was lower in 2019, so pre-COVID, than it was in 2013. So all this new spending, all these new government rules, and, you know, by our sort of best measure of health, American health declined.
Yeah. I mean, the whole concept of the product of healthcare is that it is a product. And if that product is allowed to remain in the free market, you're going to get the best doctors. You're going to get the best prices. You're going to get the most, the best coverage. When you insert the government or a third party or a middleman or whatever you want to call it, it's going to cost you more. It's going to be less effective. It's not going to be as direct. You know, I the first thing I worried about when I see more government involvement is less doctors that are willing to go to school and work hard so that they can become doctors to get into the system. When it was in the free market, those that worked hard are going to do very, very well, make a lot of money, have a good practice, and the whole thing. But this is the antithesis of making a product good. Your thought?
Yeah, it's a good point. You know, you mentioned the hearing that I testified in. You know, I was the lone witness that the Republicans invited, but the Democrats in the majority, they invited three witnesses. And all those witnesses talked about was how to increase government financing and involvement in healthcare. They didn't talk at all about what we can do to improve the supply of healthcare, to get more doctors, to get more nurses, to make sure our policies are conducive to innovation. I was the only witness that sort of talked about both the demand side of the market, but also what we need to do on the supply side to actually grow sort of the healthcare pie. They're just talking about sort of how to divide it into slices, who gets what, more government rules, more government subsidies that all distort the market, that prevent providers from best meeting patient needs. What we need to do is rationalize government subsidies for health insurance so they're not inflationary and they don't push up prices and premiums, as well as make sure that, you know, we have well-trained doctors, nurses, and we're allowing innovators to develop the products that best meet Americans' healthcare needs.
Yeah, I think you're being too kind. I would want the government totally out of it, because I think that's how we'll get the best doctors and the best healthcare. We're talking with Brian Blaze. He is president of Paragon Institute. He's a former special assistant to Donald Trump when he was president for economic policy. He testified back in February at a subcommittee hearing of the House on Obamacare. One of the things I think that you mentioned and they discussed is something called the family glitch. The family glitch. Will you tell us what that is?
Sure. And actually, I have a Wall Street Journal op-ed today. So if your listeners go to the Wall Street Journal, either online or they buy a copy of the paper, they'll see my op-ed on this in the paper today.
Great.
The family glitch, it's a part of Obamacare. It was intended. So I mentioned Obamacare created giant subsidies to purchase insurance, but they had to limit the availability of those subsidies because if so many people took them, the financial cost of the federal government would explode. So they limited people's entitlement to those. They couldn't get a subsidy if they got an offer of affordable coverage from their employer. And the way that the law was written and the way that the IRS a decade ago developed the rule was to link affordability to self-only coverage. So if a worker has a affordable self-only plan, they are not eligible to get a subsidy, and neither are their dependents in the vast majority of cases. And that's the rule that's been in effect for about a decade. What the Biden administration announced this week is that they were going to change the definition, rewrite the law that Congress passed in 2010, and define affordability on a looser standard. What that is doing is there's like two really big problems with that. One, it's the IRS being politicized. The Biden administration saying, we have this policy preference. We want more people to access these subsidies. So you need to rewrite the tax law in the way that is in our political preference. I didn't think the IRS would do that based on my experience working with the IRS, but they have proposed a rule to do just that, caving to the wishes of the Biden White House. The second is that this is a whole bunch of new spending that is unauthorized by Congress. Congress wrote a law in 2010 It's an imperfect law, but that's the law. That's what the executive branch needs to enforce, and the IRS is now taking that law, rewriting it in a way to meet the political desires of the of the president, and expand spending beyond what Congress authorized. In addition, there's the policy justifications for this change are really weak. Most of this is just going to be people replacing employer coverage, which is privately financed, with new government with this government spending.
Yeah, you know, Obama showed up at the White House the other day, and they walked hand in hand, Biden and he. And I think Obama touted his Obamacare, and they still, I guess, they treat it as a win. But people kind of forget how much more expensive health insurance became after Obamacare was put in place. And do you remember the, if you want your, you want to keep your doctor, you can keep your doctor, you want to keep your health care plan? No, I don't think so. But, you know, we gloss over all of that. Now, I want to ask you something, Brian, about when Donald Trump was president, he had talked about doing things to make health insurance, health care better. And yet, among his many accomplishments, I cannot remember that he got much done with health care. Your thought on that?
Well, it's actually, that's not the case.
Okay.
So, in 2017, Congress certainly failed in its efforts to reform Obamacare. But the president went to work, and he was committed to expand options and improve health markets. So we did some major things. We expanded small businesses' ability to offer coverage through these things called association health plans. We allowed businesses other ways to offer health insurance. So instead of picking the plan for all their workers, they can provide a contribution, sort of like a 401k, that workers then take that employer contribution and buy a plan that best works for them. And the president also pursued price transparency. So the administration issued two major rules that require hospitals and health insurance companies to post price information so that patients and employers know prices in advance. And I'll say one other thing. I mean, I think in 2020, Operation Warp Speed and the creation of the vaccine in such a short period of time, that was another sort of major accomplishment.
It was.
Sort of non-traditional health care. It came to the public health emergency. But the president deserves a lot of credit for the development of that vaccine in such a short period.
Oh, I think absolutely he does. Absolutely. And I agree with you on that. Wasn't for him getting it out there, God knows how much worse that things could have been. So I guess it's like trying to put the genie back in the bottle. Once you get the government's involvement in healthcare, and it goes all the way back actually to the Great Society of Lyndon Johnson in 1965, because that's when Medicare and Medicaid were created and started. And then all of a sudden, you look at the cost of healthcare ever since then and how it's well exceeded inflation. You know, you can't put the genie back in the bottle, but we keep trying to do that here on our show, trying to convince people that we want a product like healthcare. I mean, we were number one in the world. You know, the best doctors, we had the best hospitals, the whole bit, you know, and now no, not so much. And people seem to forget that. Your thought.
One of the things that one of the reasons that I founded Paragon Health Institute is because we need to start winning policy battles, educating policymakers about the benefits of markets, empowering consumers, promoting competition in healthcare, and making sure the policies are conducive to innovation and entrepreneurship. So I agree with you. We need it is hard to put the genie back in the bottle. We have big government entitlement programs. We need to think through they're pending towards insolvency. The country's running massive deficits, in large part because of these healthcare programs. They need reform. One of the reforms that we're working on at Paragon is how we can take all of the government spending on healthcare and take a portion of it. Instead of the government spending it directly on health insurance companies or directly on hospitals and giving it to patients so that patients and consumers, and these would be lower income patients and consumers, they can make the best decisions for them about their health care.
Kind of like a voucher.
So that the market is responding to them instead of the government dictates.
Yeah, kind of like a health voucher.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Brian, it has been a real pleasure talking with you. Keep up the good fight. I thank you so very much for taking the time, and I hope we can talk again.
Thank you. Anytime.
All right, sir. Brian Blaze, Paragon Health Institute. All righty, we are going to take our break. And when we come back, CNN's Brian Stelter, you know who he is? He went to the University of Chicago. He was confronted on their network's disinformation campaign on Hunter Biden. Much to his chagrin, we're going to talk about that and other things with the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceresi.
Come back home.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, Tantalk listeners, get your calendars out because Senior Voice America is going to an every morning format from 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. Your hosts Tim Bryce and Berkeley Badger shall have even more time to discuss politics, religion, finance, and health. So set your dials, you early bird seniors, and join the call-in party every morning, 8 to 10 a.m. starting April 1st on your Tantalk Radio Network. SVA, improving your day.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for being with us. So Brian Stelter, kind of like a little Humpty Dumpty guy. I don't know if you've ever seen him on CNN.
Well, if you work for CNN, you have to be.
Yeah. And he went to the University of Chicago yesterday. He participated in a panel discussion called Disinformation and the Erosion of Democracy. Now, he expected at the University of Chicago to have all these liberals sitting in the audience going, yes, sir, right, you know, you go, guy, you know, that kind of thing. So a college freshman by the name of Christopher Phillips and a writer of the conservative and libertarian newspaper called the Chicago Thinker gets up, and he says they push the Russian collusion hoax, they push the Jussie Smollett hoax, they smear Justice Kavanaugh as a rapist, they smear Nick Sandman as a white supremacist, they dismiss the Hunter Biden laptop affair as Russian disinformation. So with mainstream corporate journalists becoming little more than apologists and cheerleaders, is it time to finally declare that the canon of journalistic ethics is dead or no longer operative? So after Stelter got finished trying to get his pants back on with that question, he said, well, we've only got about 30 seconds. And he said, quote, it's time for lunch. Now, he was making a joke.
Do you know, I was going to say, honestly, when you were talking about it, I said, what happened? Did some freshman stand up and steal his lunch money from him? I should have said that, my God.
Yeah. Stelter goes, yeah, there's a clock that says 30 seconds, but I think my honest answer to you.
I'm surprised you can tell time.
Yeah, exactly. But I think my honest answer to you, and I will come over and talk in more detail after this. That's what they always say. You know, we'll talk in more detail later. Yeah, they don't want to talk in detail now because they don't know what they're going to say.
The Communist News Network is not going to give you the right angle.
So he goes, I understand that this is a popular right-wing narrative. So immediately you throw the right-wing crazies in here.
Then it's Trump's fault, by the way.
There you go. He says, I think it's important when talking about shared reality and democracy. All these networks, all these news outlets have to defend democracy, and when they screw up, admit it. all except you, Brian Stelter, and CNN. You don't want to admit it. Anyway, now that I'm through, I'll jump off my soapbox because Andrew Ceresi, the master barber, wants to get up there. How you doing, Andrew?
Paul, I'm living the dream. You know that.
I know you are. I visited him the other day and his beautiful daughter, Candy, and they were doing, having a wonderful experience with all the haircutting, and they've got all these banners. It's a great place to visit. Anyway, I know you probably don't even know who Brian Stelter is, but I thought I'd bring that up because it's great fun to watch all of these people that called it Russian disinformation, and the same people, of course, that were connecting Trump to Putin, in ways of screwing up the election, having now to admit that they were wrong.
Paul.
Yes, sir. Are you still there?
Never admit they're wrong. Never.
I know.
You know that? I know that. You know what they're doing? They're doing what they call making fools of themselves.
Yeah, well, they've been doing that for...
Everybody knows. Everybody knows what's going on. Mm-hmm. The truth is coming out more and more every day, Paul. I think we're going to see some indictments down the line over here. You saw what happened where they got, what was his name?
Sussman.
Sussman. They got him lying right on writing.
Yeah, they got him. Okay. They got him writing it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what was the last person that lied to the FBI? Was her name Martha Stewart or something?
Oh, good old Martha Stewart.
Yeah,
she actually saw the inside of a jail.
That's what I'm saying. So you know, I think Hillary might get to visit the same cell.
Yeah, she could decorate it in her own style. She'll be hanging her pantsuit from the clotheslines in there.
There you go.
Yeah.
You get one of those bags from the Eureka vacuum cleaner.
So I've got some very sad news. I know you'll be berserk with despair on this, but Nancy Pelosi got COVID.
You don't want to know what I said today when I saw it on the news.
And then she apparently kissed or embraced Biden. Do you think there's any chance?
Yeah, we're hoping. I prayed last night.
Now we're not really hoping. We're making a joke here. Let's make sure people realize.
Maybe you are. Maybe you are. You know, Paul.
Yes, sir.
What I got to say this morning, and it really disgusted me when I heard how Russia hit that train station with all civilians. You know what I'm picturing in my mind, Paul?
What?
I'm looking at all of Europe right now. I'm even looking at us. And I say to myself, this reminds me of a fight in high school where a bully is trying to kick the crap out of somebody, and everybody's sitting around watching, and not one person is doing nothing. We got innocent people being killed here. This is a whole new world, what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And the European countries should be ashamed and embarrassed of themselves. I don't care, NATO. They're afraid of one man. They're afraid of one man killing all these civilians is disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot believe that is going on in the European nations.
Oh, I think there's a collective a sense of guilt around in Europe about this.
Yeah, but what about what's been going on in Syria for years? There's genocide going over there.
And there was genocide going on
there. The difference is that we're seeing this.
That's right.
This is on your TV screen now.
This is every day.
That's why it's under our skin, because we're seeing it.
Yeah.
But this stuff, I'm not saying it's normal by any means, but this is what happens in barbaric countries.
It's also
a barbaric leader over there.
It's the modus operandi of Putin, because he was involved with the chemical situation in Syria.
We were warned from the start that we're going to see this kind of stuff on TV. They're going to start showing the hardcore stuff because they want to ramp it up, and they want you to get a reaction.
All I can say is they need to step up here now. Enough is enough. They're afraid of one man.
That's my thing. What can you do? What can you do that you're not doing already other than go to war? And that's just not going to happen.
Well, you know, Ed, as far as going to war, they can get this over with in one day with this.
Yeah, the planet will be done in about 3 days.
No,
the planet will be gone.
The planet won't be gone.
Listen, you don't need 1,000 nukes to destroy the planet. Just about 5 will do it.
It's not going to happen.
Okay.
It's not going to happen. But they need to step up. They need to take care of this situation. The innocent people getting killed is no good. If that was going on here and everybody was watching and we were falling apart, how would you feel? We're human beings here. We need to step up to the plate.
Now, there's a big difference because if that stuff is happening here, then we are at war. Then that's a different story. That's in our own backyard.
Well,
we can't. This is a non-NATO country.
From what they're telling me, okay, that this whole war is going to cause a lot of grief in our country. All kinds of shortages, food shortages, this, that. You know what? We need to take care of what's got to happen here. We're going to suffer too.
Why don't we allow, if that's what it means, why don't we allow those, go back to those Polish MiGs.
You're right.
Why can't they be transferred? Why can't Ukrainian pilots fly those MiGs? I don't see that as breaking any border.
Because they're afraid of afraid of Putin. What it amounts to.
And that's partly Biden and our our lack of backbone here. We should be pushing that. And go ahead.
Okay. Well, let's say that Poland is going to hand over the MiGs. And what if Putin says, okay, now Poland, you're in this. So now we start firing some missiles at Poland. Guess what? Now that's a NATO country. Now NATO is into it. Now the U.S. is into it. Now we've got a full-blown World War III happening.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, of course, this is, we're conjecturing that Putin is this crazy. And if he is, that he would attack Poland, right?
That's the big thing. We're not dealing with a sensible guy.
Correct.
So he's crazy.
He could be pulling a nuclear weapon now. He doesn't need Poland for an excuse. He might wake up tomorrow and say, you know what? I'm going to end this Ukraine war with a big nuke. I'm going to hit Kyiv with it.
He might. I'm worried because you saw that in the last reports that he's been pulling his troops out.
He is, but he's moving them somewhere else.
Okay, maybe out of harm's way.
Moving them towards the eastern. It looks like they're going to establish an eastern domain in Ukraine to me anyway.
And that's what I'm saying. Maybe he gets his troops out of the way because he's getting ready to hit him with a nuke. I don't know.
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't think so, but maybe.
Well, you know what? If they think that that's what they're planning on doing, then we got to hit him first with one big one. How's that?
Yeah. That's my gut reaction, too, but I got to step back from that, Andrew, because we don't want world war. We don't.
There won't be a world war. Russia will be gone.
We're talking about Russia.
Well, that's because you're thinking that if we hit Moscow, that somehow they're not going to launch something on Washington and New York.
Well, you know.
and don't say they're expendable. You're going to remind me of that movie with Peter Sellers. What was that movie where George C. Scott says, okay, we give them New York, we get Moscow.
Not that I want to keep you guys up at night if there's a first strike capability over here, but where does everything come out of over here? It's called MacDill.
That's right.
And that's another place that could get hit.
Exactly.
That is correct. I agree. But I'm just saying that Putin, if he wants to drop a nuclear weapon, he's already got any excuse he wants to manufacture to do it. He's crazy.
And I'm saying,
he's a monster.
My solution is, sorry, but I think you try to reason with this guy. Give him half of what he wants.
Half of Ukraine.
Okay, let this thing cool off.
Half of Ukraine.
And then you try to diplomatically get him out.
Diplomatically talk him back out of. Once he's got half of Ukraine, he ain't going to leave it.
He may not, but you get it back after you get Putin out eventually.
Well, they're not going to. What are they going to do? Hand it back?
Well, it may take a year.
Hey,
it may take 5
now.
Years.
He was a bad man. Now we're going to give it back to Ukraine.
He's been reelected to 2030 something. So we've got a long time to deal with this guy.
Way. Go ahead, Andrew.
Biden's going to get reelected 30 times, too, if he gives the Democrats their way.
He's not going to last. Come on now. Biden can't find his way around a microphone anymore.
Yeah, he was lost the other day.
He was lost.
You said that Wednesday, and I hadn't seen the film on that.
Awkward.
What a sad,
very sad
situation.
It is.
Even Obama ignored him.
It's like the guy
at
a party. You go to a party, and there's one guy that everybody's talking to everybody, but there's always one guy, and somehow nobody's talking with him.
And then
you feel bad for that person. He's walking around, and sometimes he goes over to the punch bowl, but no one's talking to him. And he's there, and he's lonely.
And then he goes over and grabs somebody out of the crowd
to get
a reaction. And then all of a sudden you hear people start clapping. I'm wondering if on the side there they've got somebody that, you know, like on the game shows and the sitcoms where the applause meter goes off and he started to make it look like, you know, something was going on.
Well, they do have those applause people. You know that. They're in the crowds.
Oh.
You know, the ones that go, hey, you know, what?
They want him to look important, so they got the applause sign up.
Yeah, but here's this poor Biden, you know. He's wandering around, and Obama's turning his back on him as well. It was kind of sad.
Yeah, it was disgusting. But then again, the whole Democrat Party is, so it don't bother me one way or the other.
Oh, my God. What a mess.
Yeah, but they showed what they're made of the other day just with that one video. And then look at the rhinos that voted that freaking judge in the other
day. Oh, yes, Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Oh, my God. I can't believe these people.
Your buddy Mitt Romney, your girlfriend Lisa Murkowski, and your other girlfriend Susan Collins.
Isn't that wonderful?
All three of them voted for her, and the vote turned out 53-47. So she's in. We all knew she was going to be in.
Now do you see why I get nervous about the one woman running for Congress in District 13 that worked for Lisa McCleskey?
Okay. Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
It makes me very nervous because she...
Which one? That's all right.
Amanda Mackey,
okay.
Yeah, she worked for as an advisor to her.
You're right.
And I wonder if she was advising her to vote for on these things.
Right.
You know, that's why... But I did notice an article this morning that Governor DeSantis is getting involved, just like Trump did in the primaries. At first, I heard he wasn't going to get involved until after the primaries to endorse people. But he's doing a Trump, and he's endorsing people in the primaries to get people that will work with him and his agenda.
Has he endorsed anybody in the 13th Congressional?
Nothing yet.
Okay.
But and I just read about this today because I was told that he wasn't going to endorse anybody until after the primary.
I would guess that he would endorse your buddy, who, by the way, we've interviewed, and his name now escapes me.
Kevin Haslett.
Yes. I would think of all those people. But you know what? He's probably going to stay out of that one.
No, I don't think so.
No?
He's got to get involved. Yeah, from what I'm understanding, he's, like I said, he's doing a Trump, and he wants people that are in there that are... They're going to go right along with him and not give, you know.
Okay.
And even though he's going to be a federal congressman, you know, a federal congressman has a lot of pull in their districts.
Oh, yeah. There's no question about that.
Saying? There's no question. So.
Yeah.
Have you got a copy of DeSantis' new campaign song ready to go there in the shop in case he walks in or what?
that's an okay song.
What do you mean? You didn't like
okay.
it? The one that Leonard
first
Skinner
all,
did?
First of all, I'm not crazy about country music.
Oh, come on. Neither am I, but...
Yeah, it's all right.
Well, wait a minute. Leonard Skinner's not really country.
He's country rock.
Okay.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You haven't heard the song?
Like no.
I'll play it for him. I mean, it's an okay song, and it's a good song, but I got other songs that are political that I prefer. I think got a lot more oomph to them.
Yeah, the one that's talking about Trump, right?
I remember that song. Yeah.
It's about America, period. It's not about Trump.
I remember your colleague wrote that very good song.
That's right. Yeah.
Make America Great Again.
I mean, to me, that has a little more sentiment to it than this one does. But it's a good song. It'll be a great campaign song for him.
Okay. I don't think he's going to need it. I think he's going to do just fine.
He's doing great.
Yeah.
This is why I told you. This is why I want to see Kevin Haslett going along with the governor, because I can see the two of them with two of them chewing up Charlie Crist and spitting them out.
Be like a tag team match.
Oh, it'd be wonderful.
All right. Well, as always, Andrew, thank you so very much, my friend. I'll look forward to you and possibly your brother on Monday.
All right, Paul. You guys have a good weekend.
And the same.
See you later.
All right. The Master Barber. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, it looks like the Department of Education is going after charter schools with some new regulations. We are going to take a look.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcast Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Don't like him, but it sure does get my business. He stands up for what he believes. So don't come down here trying to change things. We're doing all right in the Sunshine State. Stay out of our business, leave our gov alone.
There it is, the Lynyrd Skynyrd song. Huh?
Actually, the video is fantastic. I'd like to see it. A lot of shots of Dunedin, Safety Harbor, and of him walking through. And
can we see it online?
Yes, you can. If you go to YouTube, can you do that at home?
Yes, I can.
Go to YouTube.
Thank you. I'm not that out of it.
In fact, what I'm going to do for you is I'm going to send you an email, and all you got to do is click the link.
See, Ed thinks that I'm a total idiot. That I can't figure out how to get online. He's surprised I can even turn on my computer.
Say you're an idiot. I'm just saying you're not kind of with the
times. I'm not techie enough.
Because, folks, Paul, tell them, when did you first get your first cell phone? Is it about 4 months ago?
No. Cell phones, I've had them for years.
No, you have not.
No. I hadn't had an iPad phone.
An iPad phone?
Yeah, you know.
Now, I don't have one of those.
Oh, you know what I'm talking about. I had a cell phone.
Okay, you had a
cell phone was just a phone.
You had a flip phone.
Yeah, that's
so
a cell phone.
So you actually got a smartphone is what they're called.
Yeah.
There you go.
Thank you.
It's called a smartphone.
Yes. I got it.
In case some fifth grader quizzes you on it.
Yes. And I learned the other day how to turn it on and off, so I'm making great progress. Anyway. So Lynyrd Skynyrd, that's a good song. I like it.
Actually, go home and watch the video, the whole thing. Fabulously done. Great.
Good. Real quickly, the Department of Education is waging war on charter schools, recently proposed rules that would make it tougher for charter schools to get startup grants. It would tighten requirements on charter schools seeking seed money, like proving that there's a demand for a new school and showing how they would ensure diversity. There would also be restrictions on how much outside for-profit companies could manage operations. See, charter schools are run by private companies, but are public schools run by private companies. They're called charter schools. It's sort of a hybrid. You know, they're not strictly private, and they're not government taught. Anyway, Congress approved about $440 million for the charter school programs in its spending bill. And one of the Department of Education's proposed changes would require applicants applying for grant money to provide evidence of over-enrollment in existing traditional public schools. In other words, the point was, you wanted to give parents an opportunity to send their kid to a different school, whether or not they're overfilled or not. What if it's a lousy school? Am I stuck in the lousy school because it's not overfilled? I don't want that. I want to go to a good school. You know, so that was the purpose of a charter school. Anyway, real quickly before we get into our top 10, am I correct that the baseball season begins today for the Tampa Bay Rays?
First pitch, 3:10.
Okay. Are we excited?
Yeah, because the Lightning have got problems.
Yeah, I noticed
you
that.
You know, I haven't watched the Lightning since they lost about a week ago.
They lost to Washington.
I know,
so it's not
my fault. They've lost like four in a row.
They've played some tough teams.
Yeah, so it's not my fault. I haven't been watching. Usually when they lose, it's my fault because I watched.
Oh, I see. I didn't know that. You're the cause
of maybe, all. So maybe I ought to jump back on and start winning.
Yeah, maybe that's right. You need to watch.
I'll watch it this weekend.
Okay.
But the Rays are first pitches at 3:10, and you can hear it right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network if you're up in Dade City and Zephyr Hills.
Wonderful.
On 1350 AM, 1400 AM, 102.3 and 104.1.
Thank you. And who are they playing, by the way?
They are playing the Baltimore Orioles.
Oh, that'll be good. Yeah. Okay, great. Top 10 most affordable great weather cities. Property Shark analyzed U.S. cities with populations better than 150,000, and they based this on housing expenses and how comfortable the climates were. That's what it is. It says here, homeowners earning a median income would spend no more than 30% of their earnings on a monthly housing payment, no more than 30%. So here we go, number 10. Tallahassee, Florida. It has 102 clear days. It has only 29 days below freezing, and it has 91 days above 90. The housing affordability index is 29%. Okay? Number 9. Nashville, Tennessee. 102 clear days. 73 days below 32, 52 days above 90, and they're right on the no more than 30%. They're right at 30% on earnings for your housing. Number 8, Shreveport, Louisiana. You ever been to Shreveport, Ed?
No.
Well, they got 114 clear days there, only 33 days below 32 degrees. And 93 days above 90. It gets kind of humid. Mm. That's the truth. And but affordability, you only pay 18% of your income towards the housing. So that's good. Number 7, Jackson, Mississippi. 111 clear days, 45 days below freezing, 84 above 90. Only 10% of your money towards housing. Number 6, Norfolk, Virginia. Ever been there?
No.
106 clear days, only 49 days below 32, 33 days above 90, 28% housing affordability. Number 5, Greensboro, North Carolina, 109 days clear, 81 days below freezing. That's quite a few. 34 days above 90, so they got more days below freezing than above 90. Housing affordability, 23%. That's pretty good. Number 4, Mobile, Alabama, 102 days clear, 21 days below freezing, 76 above 90, 22% housing affordability. Number 3, Columbus, Georgia. I've been there. 110 clear days, 37 below freezing, 78 above 90, 16% is all you pay from your check for housing. Number 2, Raleigh, North Carolina, 111 days clear, 73 below 32. That's quite a few. 44 above 90. Housing affordability index, 21%. And finally, the number 1 is Charlotte, North Carolina, 109 days clear, 63 below freezing, 46 above 90, 29% housing affordability index. Not bad, not bad. All right, thanks so much. We will be back on Monday, friends. Drive safely, be safe. Remember, freedom works.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM.